when I was 16, actually, I had the most amazing experience in a hotel in Germany. Actually, we went for dinner. It was my 16th birthday. And it was just the most amazing experience. I showed up. There was 16 Baccarat roses waiting for me. And in the end, half the team came out, including the general manager, to sing and bring a cake. And I was just like, wow. This is just the most fascinating thing ever. And I just remember throughout my childhood growing up, every time I would go to a hotel, I was just mesmerized by the experience and by how they were doing the things they were doing so smoothly and with such a, like, you couldn't feel the transition from one to the next. And it just fascinated me. And so I decided a very long time ago that I was going to become a hotel general manager.
You're listening to Square Peg Entrepreneur, a podcast of stories and inspiration from personal brands who are disrupting their industries and doing business their own way. And now your host, Nikki Takahashi.
Teresa Lambert is a business coach, best-selling author of Achieve with Grace, a speaker and podcast co-host of Dissecting Success. Today, she lives here in Canada in Whistler, British Columbia. But as you heard, back in Germany, she had a dream as a young girl to become a general manager of a hotel. She's going to tell us how that journey unfolded and how she developed a successful hotel career in a top-rated resort community here in Canada. And today, she takes those skills and experiences and applies them to helping women entrepreneurs, coaches, and leaders to redefine success in their own lives with elegance and to create the impact, income, and freedom that they desire, but without the hustle. Teresa's story is very much about pursuing your dreams, but also doing it your own way. Here she is continuing the story about her move to become that general manager.
I ended up stopping my travels, my around the world travels, ended up staying in Whistler. And after a few years, I was like, I'm ready to pursue this dream to work in a hotel and to become a hotel GM. And since I never returned home and didn't actually go to hotel management school, it seemed a bit crazy at the time. But, you know, I was like, I'm in Canada, American dream. This might be possible. And so I landed this gig in a beautiful boutique hotel in Whistler. It was actually a front desk position. I had applied for a supervisor role, but they told me I didn't have enough experience. And so anyhow, I started at the front desk and the place was a bit of a mess, not going to lie. And somehow I managed to stick around and very quickly moved up the ladder in the hotel. And I'm just one of those people, like, when I see that something is broken and something doesn't function, like, I want to fix it. Like, I have this, like, it's like creative problem solving on, you know, crack. I just need to find a solution. I just have this deep desire to find a solution, and not a short-term solution, but a long-term solution. And so I just put my heart and soul behind finding creative solutions to problems that we were facing. And as the history of the hotel continued and there was so much change, I somehow continued to stand out as somebody who was finding actual solutions to problems that moved us forward. And so I moved up the ranks like so fast into an operations manager role, just before I became a GM, and I took over housekeeping, the front desk, the revenue management, as well as engineering. So about half of the hotel wow. team. Yeah. And so I did that job for maybe 11 months, I want to say. It wasn't actually too long. And then we had a transition again. So there was a few, this was the third GM that I had worked for at the time. And so he then was gone again. And I was like, wow, okay, like, you know, what do I want to do? And I was actually looking actively for jobs because I was like, I don't know where this place is going. Like, there's all this change. And I was just feeling kind of tired of not seeing things really moving forward. And so this was the point where the owner, who I had been working closely with because I was doing all the owner bookings for the hotel, approached me and he said, we would like you to temporarily step into this role while we're finding somebody else. And I was like, sure, you know, that is totally fine. I can do that. You know,
did you hesitate at all? Was there, or did you feel quite confident?
I mean, you know, I felt okay with like transitioning. I didn't, you know, that didn't really faze me. I just thought, you know, that way I might have some sort of an opportunity to communicate to whoever comes in next, you know, what maybe we could work on or what we could focus on. You know, I was like, there's an opportunity here to gather some valuable information. Mm-hmm. And so within, I think it was like maybe a month or 6 weeks, he came back to me and said, well, I've decided that I would like to offer you the role permanently. And I was like, what? I just like, I mean, I was like, what do you mean? Right? Like, here I am. I had experience in restaurants and experience obviously within the hotel for the 3 years. But I didn't have a formal degree in hotel management and or any degree. Like, I don't have any bachelor degree or big, like, university degree backing me up. And I had this little bit of experience. And yes, I was good at what I was doing, but I was like, really? Like, and so there was a lot that went through my mind at the time. But the biggest thing for me, Nikki, was the fact that I was like, there's really only a few options here. Either I'm going to get it wrong and within 12 months I will lose that job, but I have the experience, or I'm not going to make any change and within 12 months I will lose this job and I get the experience, or I actually figure out how to make this work and this could be the most amazing career move ever. Like, this is it, right? Like, if I can do this, I Great. Am where I want to be. And so I was like, okay, let's do it.
Great attitude, great perspective. And you're right. What was happening in Whistler at that time? I mean, Whistler is such an active, you know, central part of Western Canada and the ski resorts in general. What was happening at that time?
Well, this was in late 2013 and Whistler was still a very different place. Like, even after the Olympics, like, it was very seasonal, you know, seasonally as well with staff. So as always, like, big staff turnovers, you know, very, very quiet off seasons, a lot of competition. Mm. You know, the economy was sort of had been picking up or had started to pick up, which we saw some positive trends, but the same challenges that the resort town is facing, you know, right now, where there was actually, it was a little bit different in terms that it was just quieter. So we didn't need as many staff. So there was a few more staff around than there are now, but there was a big issue with housing, like finding affordable housing for people to actually stay and be able to make a sustainable living throughout the year. Those were just some of the things that were challenging at the time. And then within the hotel, it was just transition after transition, hotel management, group and ownership changes, GM changes, leadership changes. So it didn't have a good reputation still at that point in time. So it kind of felt a bit like an uphill battle, you know, where you're like, huh, okay, am I really going to push this building up the hill?
Right. Oh, yeah. And you've mentioned a couple of times about not having a formal education in hotel management or anything hotel related. Was that really a sticking point for you? Was that a hurdle to overcome? Or was that something that was really surmountable after you got into the thick of things?
You know, I think what I've learned from all of this is that there is no school or university that can prepare you truly for running any kind of business. Mm-hmm. I think there is aspects and facets of it that, you know, it's very helpful for. One of the areas I would say is, you know, finance and accounting. And you know, there's that realization too that you can have people on your team to complement your skill set. So if you know that, you know, finance isn't your strong suit, make sure that you have a CFO or an accountant in place that can really help level that out, right? And I think that so much in business comes down to understanding the people in the business, the people that come into your business as clients or customers, and the way we work together, you know, that cannot be taught. You have to develop a way and a feeling and an experience. And those are actually skills that I have found life teaches us, being exactly. human teaches us. So I learned along the way that I didn't need to have the degree to do what I was doing. And that was really helpful, but I did struggle with imposter syndrome very badly. And, you know, consequently to me believing that I didn't have all the skills to do it. And I was very young. I was 29 at the time.
Oh my gosh.
So I was the youngest female general manager in Whistler. And pretty much like even like within the Sea to Sky corridor, I don't even know that there wasn't even many like women. And so I just really felt like, you know, I had landed on the moon.
I can imagine. And to your point too, earlier, when you were speaking about that experience for your 17th or your 16th birthday, back in Germany, some of those intuitions and those, just realizations of how that feels, how seamless everything is running. Those things can't be taught either. I think that's just innate as well. So it's interesting that you have the combination of environment, flow, methodology, you're a people person, you're a problem solver. This all combines to become just a fantastic general manager. So kudos to you. Give yourself some credit. That's a lot wrapped up in one package that you weren't even recognizing.
No, I wasn't recognizing it at the time. But, you know, again, like I was doing this job for 6 years, in the end, just over 6 years before I chose to move on. And we did incredible things. We did incredible things. Like where the hotel was when I left is you can't even really describe it. But I think what really hits it was the owner who gave me the opportunity at the time, referred to me as a rock star by the time I finished. And so I think that sums it up, right? Yeah. Like that really sums it up. And we, you know, more than doubled revenues. We really built up the business. It became an award-winning property year after year, very highly rated. And we really built this base of returning customers. And I think that was really what set us apart from other properties, was that our focus was really on how can we get more people to return so we don't always sell to new people. And I think that is, you know, that is at the heart of what I do now as well, because selling to new people all the time and relying on new people to come into your business all the time is exhausting.
It is. It is. Yeah. And so that was your biggest takeaway. Do you think the way that that transitioned from the hotel industry to your entrepreneur venture now, that was the biggest takeaway?
Yeah, that, you know, that is definitely one of them. And I think, you know, at the heart of that is just experience, you know, you are amazing with brands. And I'm sure it is, you know, so much will go into that brand building as well, right? What's the experience you want people to have when they see your website, when they come to your Instagram, when they jump onto a call with you? Like, what is that experience going to be like? You know, it's not just about what are the results when they walk away, but like, what is the emotional connection that we're building between our business, our brand, ourselves, and that other person on the other side, whatever other side we're talking about? And when we get the experience right, that piece of attracting and magnetizing, you know, that becomes so powerful. And this is actually something you shared when you were on our Dissecting Success podcast. You know, about becoming this more magnetizing brand by bringing yourself into it and really expressing that. And I think all of that bundled up really sums up what I took away from it. You know, recognize your strengths, really focus on the experience, and also dare to just do it your way. Like, we did things differently.
Yeah. Tell me a bit, what did you do in the hotel industry that was different with those, that clientele, to bring them back time and time again?
Well, the first thing, I mean, it's Whistler, right? So it's all about skiing in the mountain. And it was very heavily at that time, like summers were still fairly quiet compared to the winter time. It was known as a winter destination, right? One of the, like, I think it got voted again number one ski resort in North America. So people knew Whistler as a winter destination. And so the hotel was walking distance to the lift, but you had to cross the highway. So, you know, we're talking 800 meters, which, you know, may not be so long, but for people that can be very long, right? Like, it wasn't ski in, ski out. It wasn't located in the main village where all of the shops are. So for all the you know, people that were running the hotel before me, they looked at it as a B location. Okay. And so when I took over, the first thing I did, I was like, we need to separate from the pack. Like, we can't promote and market this property the same than somebody who's in the heart of the village or at the base of the mountain, because they have a different agenda. They have a different view, right? Where are we at? We're the only lakeside property at the lake. Like, we're the only lakeside property in Whistler. There is no property with lake views other than beautiful Nita Lake Lodge. And so the first thing I said was like, this is a million-dollar location. Like, we have got to own the fact that we're unique, we're different, we're out of town, we're at a lake, we're still walking distance to the mountain. So really, our ability to position ourselves came from the fact that we had to own the fact that we're different and unique. Ooh,
nice. Ooh, isn't that just branding goodness all in itself? You were a marketer too and you didn't know it. That's fantastic.
Because
I'm sure there are a large number of clientele that don't want to be in the bustle of things, and that lake, you know, opportunity is really a draw for them.
Exactly. And so, you know, when you're always, like, when you're trying to talk to the wrong people, it's really difficult. So I was like, we just need to start to understand that this is the most brilliant place to be in Whistler, right? Like, it's romantic. It's this beautiful, like, I mean, the lodge is just the most stunning location. I'm not biased at all, of course. I did also get married there. It is a beautiful, beautiful location. It is remote. It has this boutique size, only 77 rooms, but we had some incredible banquet spaces. And so it was just really, once you started to realize that you can position yourself as this, you know, the mountain retreat up the road, like your lodge in the mountains and at the lake, that was a game changer for us in terms of how we really saw, you know, what's possible for us, because we can hype up summer. We can be this beautiful, you know, retreat in the winter. Like, and it became the message, right? Like, go into the bustle of town and then come back to your mountain retreat. Come back to, you know, relaxing by the fireplace. And then we just, I mean, the lodge itself, like, every room has a fireplace. Every room has a fireplace. Every room has a bathtub. I mean, you know, these are things. Every room has a king size bed. Like, there was just things about it that was like, when you started to look at it, you're like, not every hotel has that.
Great perspective. So being able to see the differences and highlight those differences and feel confident with those differences is something that not every entrepreneur can do. How did that translate to the way that you described yourself and your business when you made the move over?
You know, I will say that for me, it's been a transition. I feel like I've been in, like, pivoting mode from the time I jumped into my business. And here's really why. When I left in January 2020, a few months before this pandemic, I really planned on supporting leaders senior leaders in the hotel industry heavily on leadership presence and also burnout prevention, because it is an industry that, you know, it's 24/7, 365 days of the year. And when everybody goes home and everybody takes a day off, you know, the hotels and the restaurants are busier than other days of the week. Mm-hmm. And so it's an industry that can very much consume you. So I wanted to support leaders in the hotel industry. And I also wanted to focus heavily on hotel and hospitality consulting and really helping, you know, odd properties around the province and eventually in the US help stand out and, you know, really develop their brands, their positioning, and ultimately being able to turn the businesses around and become a profitable, you know, well-positioned property. And so I took a little bit of time off to just transition, and then the pandemic hit.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was, yeah, I was really stumped.
Yeah, because your whole focus market is kind of stalled then, right? I mean, in some ways, it was fortunate that you got out when you did, but the bottom just dropped out of your whole clientele, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, I knew I wanted to write my book, Achieve with Grace, and I needed a new focus. And so the book actually became very central in my first pivot. Because I was feeling confused at that point in time. I was like, well, who am I talking to? What am I doing? And so at the beginning of the pandemic, I did a lot of free support. I was offering coaching sessions within the industry to people in the industry to just help support them as they're transitioning. So many people lost their jobs, right? Property were closing. It was a really, really hard and difficult time. Especially up here, you know, in Whistler, we're in a resort town. So, you know, a resort town without tourists is
right.
not existent, right? So this is like a real, like, talk about a problem that comes overnight. And so, so I had decided earlier in January, actually, already, that I was going to write a book. And I didn't know what the book was going to be about, but similar to my GM story, you know, I always wanted to write a book. And so I was like, well, this might be a good time. I'm at the beginning of this. And so, yeah, after the pandemic hit and I got locked in at home, I wasn't feeling well. I had like a bit of a cough, and I was like, so I didn't leave the house for nearly a month, which is insane. But I was like, I just need to start writing, and the answer will come, you know. It's sometimes it's just trusting. So I had tried the approach of, you know, coming up with a framework, and I was working with a coach, and he was like, you know, maybe figure out, you know, what you want to talk about. And I was like, okay, well, I want to tell my hotel story. I want to tell my perspective, what it was like for me to go through this. And I burned out throughout my time with the hotel, which is part of the reason why I ended up coaching. But I really wanted to tell this story and have people really understand, you know, what are some of the shifts around our mindset that we can take that can really help us elevate our energy and ultimately get to a place where our success feels like it matches, like the outside matches the inside, because I didn't feel like that. I had all this outside success, and on the inside, I felt disconnected. It didn't feel right. Like, I was where I always dreamt to be, and I didn't want it anymore. Mm. And that was really, really hard, because I was like, well, what do you do now? Right? Like,
right.
That wasn't ideal. And so anyways, I started writing. And so I wrote and I mapped out the draft of the book in, 28 days. And it was just crazy, because I just started writing, and then it just flooded out of me. You know, it just all needed to come out.
No editing, you just free flow wrote.
I just wrote. And what I realized, I couldn't go back, because every time I started rewriting chapters, I was getting in my head about it. And I was like, well, this is dumb. Like, nobody wants to read that, right? Like, it's really interesting when you go through creative process, you know, that inner critic definitely comes out. And so I was like, I'm just going to write it. And then I had hired an editor. So I knew that once the whole book is going to be where it's at, that's when I'm going to work with the editor and we're going to think, you know, figure out how to structure it, how to make it better, how to, you know, rewrite certain sections of the book, tighten them up, that sort of thing. So my editor, Jen, she's incredible. And she was a huge, 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 huge support in terms of being able to bring it all together. And yeah, by the end of it, I read my own book. And I was like, wow, did I write this? This is really good.
I've heard that that's the best process. Just let it flow and don't overthink it, and then lean on the experts to help you edit it and fine tune it in the end. Kudos to you.
Totally.
Yeah. 28 days. That's a fantastic achievement. Really, really cool.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, time, you know, divine timing sometimes, right? Like the world was shut down. There was nowhere to go. I was stuck at home. I had actually I had a few clients at the time, but like a handful of clients, like I think 5 clients at the time, which wasn't a lot. And yeah, like it was just like, I literally, there was nothing else to do, Nikki. I was like, I can just sit down and in the mornings I feel very creative. And so I would just write as much as felt good. And then I would, you know, pick it up the next day. Or if I had like an inspirational hit, I would just write. And interestingly enough too, I would always write at the same place, like usually sitting on my sofa. There's a big window. I live in kind of like a treehouse looking townhome. And so I would just sit and I would watch it rain or watch it snow, and I would just write and write and write. And it was soul cleansing.
Like, oh, it sounds soul beautiful. Cleansing. It sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it was actually a really good experience for me. And it helped me, you know, really figure out that for me, it's about, you know, this whole idea around achieving with grace. Like I would consider myself a high achiever. But that high achieving side can also take the better off me. Like I can get obsessed and not let things go and really blend out everything and everybody else around me. So, you know, I am definitely prone to like, you know, check myself in terms of, you know, are you working? Like, are you working because you really desire to work, or you're just working because you're trying to prove a point? Like, what are you doing, right? Like I can get obsessed and impatient, especially with my own work process. I'm not like that with others, but with myself, I'm very much like head down, work, 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 work. And so what I realized as I was writing the book was that that is at the heart of the issue, because we're not really enjoying the process. We're just trying to race to the result. And we're racing and racing. And that process can work. And it's very much celebrated in society today, where it's like the faster you get to the result, the faster you get to the $100,000, the faster you get to the million, you know, the better you are. Like the faster you get to the top, the better you are. The faster you own your home, the better you are. Like we've put these outside metrics on what it means to be successful and what it looks like to be successful. And we've created stories for ourselves in our mind that tell us what it's supposed to be. And then if it's not like that, we believe that we're not good enough, or that we're not getting there fast enough. And so then we're trying to compensate for it at the expense of our own well-being, our relationship with other people, our lives. And it just clicked. And I was like, well, you know, that's the exact reason why I ended up in my dream job and not enjoying it anymore.
That burnout, and that, like you said, it's such an intense workspace to be in. It's interesting that it took the pandemic for you to really gear down and have that reflection. And so now in your coaching business, you're really practicing that elegance and that flow and that ease. It sounds like you've just got such a nice rhythm to your work now.
I do. And, you know, I am very much a believer that, you know, we do need to have certain structures and strategies and systems in place so we're actually able to do that, right? Like I know for myself, like if I launching a new program or offering something, if I don't have my systems and my tech set up, I freak out. I freak out. I make everything not working mean something. And it becomes really hard to relax through the process and to trust and surrender in the process. And so for me, it's really, you know, having a bit of both, like how do we need to set up our lives, our businesses, our systems, our strategies to really support us so that we have space in our calendar so that we can, you know, do things that we love that are not related to work so that we can turn the phone off and not feel guilty. Like there are so many things to that. And that's really for me where we can, you know, achieve that balanced state of, you know, elegant success and flow and play and pleasure and drop the pressure off the result and the performance. And that's taken me, and that's an ongoing work, I would say, because it's just easy to get caught in that trap, the trap of doing, the trap of wanting a result, especially in business. And I see that with my clients as well, right? Like everybody wants to get there fast. And, you know, one of the things I always like to bring up as an example is that the most monumental things in life, like the things that we cherish the most, the things that we hold dearest in our lives, generally are the things that took the longest time. Mm-hmm. Even with art, right? Even with cities that we believe are beautiful, right? Homes that we believe are beautiful, unless you obviously bought your dream home and it was perfect just the way it was. But I'm sure you hung pictures on the walls and it took you a little bit to figure out where to place them, what piece of furniture to buy, which rug to place on your sofa, which desk you chose, like the wall color you wanted. Like, you know, we create spaces and homes and art in so many different ways, but it takes time. And we cherish the fact that we've taken time. Yet when it comes to success, we want it to happen yesterday.
Great analogy. You're right. It takes time to curate the right pieces and get the right feel. And you need to live in that space and just own it. And isn't that true for branding and building your own business? I just listening to your words, I feel so calm. Just the way that you speak, I feel so calm. I can imagine your coaching clients feel that same way. They get that vibe from you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You know, it's that mix of like, and that's what I love, right? Like there is the like structure. Let's do this. Let's go. Let's launch something. Like there's the excitement. And then at the same time, there is the, what's the vibe? Like, how can we do this? And, you know, put our feet up and, you know, see things unfold and enjoy it unfolding. And like you said too, you know, again, like it takes a bit of time. Like I, you know, started thinking I was going to do one thing and then I added another thing. And then I was like, I really like supporting people on this and on that. And so I just, even with my business, I let it take time. And the same with the branding, right? Like, it's like you create a space, a brand, and then you're like, okay, well, as we evolve, our brand gets to evolve with us. The clients that we work with get to evolve with us. Like we're all on this journey together. So let's do it together. Let's be in the vibe together. And, you know, I think that working with people that can help ground a different side of, like, you know, a different side of you and help you see that, hey, it's okay to take an extra week to do something if that feels like the best choice for you right now, rather than, no, you gotta have this done yesterday. You know, it creates the space. And when we have space, creativity flows and we show up differently. And when we show up differently, more people want to come and hang out because they're like, feels good spending time with you. Feels good being in your energy. You know, that VD to me is just so powerful.
I love this. This is going to be the theme of this talk. Just giving permission to take time to let things unfold, let things connect and come about themselves. It's neat that you also reference just feeling good in a space, because you have something on your website called the living room, which immediately I felt so cozy and so included in. Tell us about that.
Oh my God, the living room. So this is, the living room was an idea I had probably 12 months ago. And before my website was the way it was now, I really was thinking about, you know, what would I like people to feel when they come into my space? And I said to myself, I want people to feel like they walked into my living room. And they're like, I want to hang out here. Like, I want to know more. I want to know what this person is up to. And I am terrible at niching. Like, I will totally admit this. So the living room is a place where we have different conversations, where we talk about different topics. And so it's really a space to come drop in for free and hang out. And it's a space where I hold, or actually where all my past free masterclasses and workshops live. So you can drop into the space for free and literally be inspired, get help on goal setting, get help on resting and nutrition, get help on selling. Like, it's like so cool because it's literally, you know, in a living room, we don't just have one conversation. We have many conversations. We go there to be entertained or edutained, right? So we hang out there and we hang out with different people that we have different conversations with. And so the living room just seemed like the perfect analogy for a space where you can come and you plug into whichever conversation you want to listen to right now.
Right. Well, and whether you intentionally niched or not, you niched into this beautiful space of elegance and comfort and ease and joy. And that's its niche in itself. So kudos to you.
It is. Thanks, Nikki. And you know, you reminded me of something when we spoke with you about being brave in your brand. And many, many people have told me that, you know, succeeding with elegance and, you know, bringing these pieces and the grace you're achieving is not niching. And I was like, and now even just you saying that again, and I was like, yeah, you know, it is my own kind of niche.
Absolutely. For sure it is. For sure. I mean, I'm of the same mindset. I think the whole experience is important and it is difficult to narrow it down into one small focus. But I think you've done a beautiful job of wrapping it all up in a beautiful, warm, cozy bow. Like, I want to hang out in your treehouse little area and just be in your living room sipping some cocoa and marshmallows and, you know, fuzzy socks and talking about, you know, just a variety of good, wholesome, you know, heartfelt things. That's what I'm getting.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. And that's, as we're heading into winter, what a good thing. I'm getting excited about turning my fireplace on now. I'm like, fireplace, glass of wine, creating some beautiful things.
Right? Oh, we're so blessed in this country. We've got some great spots that just make that so so special and so rewarding. So if clients, people want to get to know you a bit better or become a client of your coaching process, they can go to your website.
Come to my website. That's teresalambertcoaching.com, or another really great place to go if you want to get a vibe of what it's like to you know, hang out with me. Come and join me on my Instagram at teresalambertcoaching. I hang out on my Instagram the most. I'm on my stories. I share things. So it's a really beautiful way to also connect. Send me a DM and, you know, we can start a conversation.
And check out the podcast, Dissecting Success. That was a really fun experience being on your podcast. And it's so nice that we can reciprocate and share and have some more chat. We'll continue this discussion. I know it. And I'm going to end up in your treehouse. This I know,
yes,
too.
I know. I can't wait for you to come to the treehouse and for us to share some great, continued great conversation and maybe hot cocoa or maybe red wine. We can decide at the time.
There we go. In the living room with Teresa. That's Thank it. You. What a beautiful chat. So nice to speak with you today.
So nice to speak with you too. Thank you so much for having me.
This has been Square Peg Entrepreneur. If you enjoyed our show, please let us know by leaving a review and subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. For free resources and materials, visit squarepegentrepreneur.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening.